Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've so generously given to us in your Son, Christ Jesus. We ask today, as we get into your word, that our eyes of understanding is further enlightened, that we are able to see ourselves in the center of your will in your word, that our lives will never remain the same way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right, so today we are going to begin yet another study in God's word. I want us to pay attention just for us to, and open up our mind as well, to understand, you know, God's counsel, God's heartbeat, God's mind, all right, in his word. Well, we've called this one Herald, all right, Herald. Now, who are Herald's? Herald, it's a historical profession, all right? It used to be a job, a profession back in the day, all right? And, they are messengers, people that are sent by authorities. Particularly, Herald's, okay? So let's get their definition and get into the study today. So we said they are messengers sent by monarchs, kings and queens, or noblemen to convey messages and proclamations, right? They are people who they are sent by kings or by, you know, noblemen, by authorities to pass across a message. It used to be a job. They used to be employees. They work in the palace, all right? And what they do majorly is to convey a message and or a proclamation. What's a proclamation? A proclamation is an official announcement. An official announcement that take this message, you go and tell them in that region so and so has happened. Back in the day, all right, we don't have any news. Sorry, there's no TV, all right? What we can say today that replaced that job is the job of the newscaster, all right? The newscasters now, today, replace that profession. Historically, they used to be heralds, people who, they are news bearers. Hallelujah. Let me give you a context to this. The context is, you know, back in the day, just paint your mind, you know, pick your mind back hundreds of years ago. Then there used to be wars, okay? The king is about kingdoms and kings, okay, and warfare. So the king and his army, maybe they've gone to a territory, all right, and they will fight and engage themselves in a warfare, you know, activity. And, you know, whoever wins, the king that wins that territory, all right, comes back with a news, comes back with the news of victory, all right? And that news, all right, it gives to heralds. So heralds will take the news and, you know, some of us can remember, but it's just in the local parlance, you know. Then the heralds, they will take a bell, a gong, they will pick maybe a wooden stick, and they will cause a scene. Bang, 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 bang. The king asked me to tell you that so and so, that's an herald, all right? The herald, all right, is conveying or passing across the message of a king, of a conquest, of a victory, of an important message from the king. Now, notice one thing. Let's begin to study. We're going to study. It's going to be a very beautiful study. Notice the herald has no message of his own, all right? The herald doesn't go telling people about himself, all right? He goes to bear the news up about the kingdom or about the king of that or that special nobleman or women that have sent him out. Hallelujah. Okay? So it's very important for us to understand that, all right? So I said, talking about an herald, all right? An herald, so is an official employed to oversee state ceremonies. At times, they employ them to oversee, like ambassadors, all right, to oversee state ceremonies. But in this context, they make proclamations. They could also make proclamations or carry official message. An official message. All right? So what we are trying to see in our study today is to make us see that we are a route. But before that, I think today we're going to tell the story of our King, the story of our God, all right? And maybe in subsequent, you know, meetings, we're going to talk about how he has sent us, what message he sent us for, and how he has entrusted his victory, all right, his conquest to our hands. Hallelujah. But before that, let's tell the story of God. Don't forget, we said around, we gave a context of an around, all right? He doesn't bear a message of himself. It's about the King and the kingdom, all right, who has gone for a battle and now has won the battle, all right? And, you know, he came back with that news and he's handed over that news, that victory, to this herald, and now they need to go. But we need to know the story. What news? What conquest? What's the story of our God? What's the story behind the news we are conveying? We are heralding to people. Hallelujah. This is where our study will start today. So that helps us to know your position, the position of you and I in the kingdom of God and in the business of God. Hallelujah. Second Timothy, chapter 1. We want to tell the story of God. The story of God. Second Timothy, chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. Look at it. He says, who has saved us and called us, talking about God, and called us with a holy calling. Now look at it. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. And grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Let's break that down. He's saying that we have been saved, verse 9, and we have been called with a holy calling. Please, can we say together, I've been saved, and I've been called with a holy calling. Well, we get to know that calling actually is we've been called to be an herald. We're going to get there. We're going to come back. But let's look at it. Not according to our works, meaning we didn't qualify for this. All right? It's nothing that I did or I didn't do that qualified us for this purpose. All right? But it says according to his own purpose. What does that tell us? God has an intention. Is that not? God has an idea. Can you put it that way? I once told someone that God has an idea. He said he's not going to talk to me again, that I'm saying something wrong. But God has an idea. All right? He may not come here to us as ideas, but he says according to his own purpose. He's got something on his mind that he wanted to do. All right? And grace, now, which was given to us. So that purpose and grace has been given to us in Christ Jesus. But then, can we omit the word in Christ Jesus and read before time began? So it means that this purpose, this grace, this intention that God has got, all right, didn't just start with man. Can we put it together that way? All right? So before he made you and I, that purpose was on his mind. Are we together? All right? So it says before, it's working. All right. Okay. Thank you. Okay. It says, look at it. It says, I just want us to read. Let's put this comma here. And read from before. So let me just do it. It says, not according to our works, according to his own purpose and grace, all right, before time began. Though it will be fulfilled in Christ Jesus, all right, but that agenda, that purpose was or is, because the purpose is still now, before time began. That's the story of our God. Hallelujah. Now let's read some more. Let's read some more. Verse 10. Can we do verse 10? Verse 10. You got it? It says, but has now been revealed. So that purpose has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We're going to come back to this again. So the way he brought it to be is through the gospel. We're going to define what's that gospel. Because a gospel is a news. A gospel is, you know, simply put, is, you know, it's just good news. They call it glad tidings. All right? Because the gospel, if someone gives me £1 billion today, you know, that's a good news. That's a gospel. Ah, it is a gospel. It may not be the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, but it's a good news. I'll get some more shoulder parts so that I can be like that. I won't be working like this. I've got £1 billion. All right? So it's a gospel. But we're going to come to that in our subsequent study. But what I want us to know is that God has got a purpose, has got an agenda, has got, has got an agenda. Let's run quickly. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Let's read it. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Look at this again. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. So, God promised eternal life. Now, let's put this together. God, not promise, yeah, but God promised eternal, her name is promised, that's why. God promised eternal life. When did he promise eternal life? After Adam. So the plan of God for mankind, before he put the first dust, put things together, the plan of God, the purpose of God was to give man eternal life before time, because we knew when time began. All right, so the plan of God, okay, is eternal life, and that eternal life, it wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't that Adam, you know, sinned and I said, oh, who will I send? I will send, no, you know, all right, we are saying that eternal life, that purpose was before time began. Hallelujah. John chapter 1. Let's read these things together. You know, we've defined herald. Who are they? They convey a message. All right? And we give a context around you know, what it means to be an herald back in the days. But now we are telling the story of our God. What was on his mind for which he has now sent us to be an herald. All right? That's what we're trying to see today. So please follow my thought. We are saying that God has got an agenda. He want maybe for the king now, for the king of this world, maybe of or in those days, maybe they want to expand their territory. They want to get more land. They want to get more maybe slaves or people to work. But there's always an agenda, always a purpose, something on their mind that they were up to. Hallelujah. Now we are seeing that our God, see, I want us to see, so that you and I today, if we find ourselves in the plan of God, we should be grateful. That is contentment. All right? Contentment is not that I have a car or I have houses. It's in that I am in the will of God, because we are seeing now that we have eternal life, the very purpose of God for mankind. From the world, before the world began, was to give mankind eternal life. Hallelujah. Let me read some more. See, the job of a pastor is to persuade you. And in persuasion, he provides not his own idea, not his own wisdom, all right, or his own quotation or quotable quotes, such that the job of a pastor is to present to us 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 and 4, all right? Now, the job of a pastor is to present to you plethora of scriptures in God's word, so that you can see. Now, because God's word has the ability to persuade any man. We're going to get to that point in this study. God's word, God's spirit has got the ability to persuade man. Anybody, anyone, anywhere. That's the potency. That's the power and the power of God's word. That's the ability that is in there in the word of God. Hallelujah. First John? I was trying to save time. It is John chapter 1, verse 4. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 1. Let's just start. John chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read from the beginning. Let's read. So, in the beginning. Now, you know that in this beginning, we were not there, correct? In this very beginning, this will be the beginning before God will make man. All right? Let's begin to understand it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? So, this is the very beginning. Now, verse 2. We're going to verse 4, but let's read verse 2. Now, all of a sudden, that word picked up a personality. Because when you use he, all right, it means that's somebody, that's someone. But that's not even the study today. Let's move on. All right, it says, he was in the beginning with God. Now, this he will be the word. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. All right, it says he, that word, he, the word picked a personality, but we're coming back there, was in the beginning with God. We'll talk about that some more another time. Verse 3. I just want to show something. All right? Verse 3. It says, all things were made through him. That's the word. All right? And without him, nothing was made that was made. Now, verse 4 is the point. Verse 4 is the point. It says, in him was life. Now, look at that. Look at that. So, that word that was in the beginning, all right, that became, well, we're going to read it that it became man, that picked up a personality here. It says, in that word, all right, we've taught ourselves that that word means logos. Logic, an idea. Hallelujah. Because when you say logic, logic is a reasoning. All right? God has a reason. There's a way he thinks that is different from the way men or mankind thinks. But anyway, God has got a reasoning. That reasoning will become a man. Now it says, in that reasoning, in that personality, in that idea, in that person was life. So life. Alright, this life will be the eternal life. Blessed be God. He says, and the life was the light of men. Oh, look at that. So, God had an idea, alright, that was going to give life through his word to mankind even before he made man. Because at the point in verse 1, the word was in the beginning. Mankind had not been made then. The plan of God was that through his word, he will give life. All right, and light to men by the word, by this life. Hallelujah. Now, the point I'm trying to say is that eternal life, the life that God offers, all right, that still gives today, is not an afterthought. It was from the very beginning. And that word, as we've seen, will be in his son, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Are we together so far? We're telling the story of God, what God had in mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, before the world began, God's plan was to give life and immortality through Christ. His plan was to give life and immortality through Christ. But you know what? Because this is the news we now need to go bearing, to go telling everyone. Jesus will now come to fulfill. We're just telling stories today. Stories that by God's grace should shape our understanding, reasoning of God's word. Jesus will now come, all right, to fulfill this will of God. All right? An idea. For example, we are planning, I don't know. You have an idea, right? And you can do some things ahead of your ideas. You can say some things ahead of your plans. Okay, maybe I wanted, but you, all right, now, God had this idea way before the world began. Now, Jesus along the line, now, so many things happened. Adam sinned, he disobeyed, and all of those, but, that, we'll talk about that later on. But Jesus came on the scene, because of our time today, Jesus came on the scene to accomplish that will of God. All right, to make it happen. That purpose, that idea, John chapter 3, verse 17. Jesus came to fulfill that idea, that purpose of God. That's, we are getting somewhere today. He says, for God did not send, so God sent his son, don't forget the purpose of God, the plan of God. God sent his son into the world, not to condemn people, to say, oh, you did not sleep, you slept, you ate biscuits. he's not going all around picking all of those. Hallelujah. Now, he says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn people. Now, look at that. But that the world, that the world, look at the purpose, the mind of God, that the world through him that will be his son, might be saved. That is the purpose. That is why God sent his son. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 9, verse 56. Let's read some scriptures. Like I said, we're going to read scriptures today. Don't forget, God has got a purpose, got an intention to give eternal life. All right? Today, we are the most fortunate people. Not because of the money that we have, or the careers that we've got, all important, no doubt, but because we know Jesus. Because we have eternal life. The very purpose of God for mankind has eventually been fulfilled in us. Glory to God. Oh, so when we say we never perish in this life, that's what we're saying. When we say we're on God's side, God has got us forever. That's what we're talking about. I don't want to be excited yet, but I tell you, it is worth shouting about. That we are in the plan of God. Look at it. For the Son of Man did not, Jesus saying this about himself, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life. Some people say, oh God, kill them. Fire. Hey, you don't understand what you're talking about. It didn't, see, the people you are praying that fire should kill, God loves them. They may not be on God's side for now. Do you know what he said? He said he's not willing that any should perish. Any. People will perish at the end of the day because they will disobey. But God doesn't, God is not happy that anybody is perishing. He just cannot help it. But let's get to the point today. But we can help it. I'm just trying to build it precept upon precept so we can know where we stand in God's plan and purpose. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. All right? Now, this is the story of when, of course, this story is very relatable. This is the story of when he was going to Samaria and some folks, they've blocked him and they will not allow him to go. And two of the disciples, James and John, they said, Master, shall we call down fire from heaven? Like Elijah, they were even quoting the scripture. Even quoting Bible for the word. They're quoting the word for the word. That even we have a precedence. Elijah called down fire and killed everybody. See what Jesus did. He says he went away to another place. He will later correct them in verse 57 that if you know the spirit that you have, you wouldn't call down fire. Hallelujah. All right. So he didn't come. He came to save life. Let's read more scripture. We're going to read a lot of scripture today. Please get ready. I want to be able to persuade you in God's word. Okay. So we say maybe one or two is okay. Well, let's see some more. Let's be persuaded in God's word. John chapter 6 verse 38. John chapter 6 verse 38. God has got a purpose. God has got an agenda. God has got a will. Okay? He will not come to fulfill that. We're going to verse 40, but let's take verse 38 first. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him. So, look at it. Can you see the emphasis of who sent me? Someone didn't just send him. The person that sent him has an agenda. That purpose from the beginning of the world. All right? From before time began. From before Adam came to the scene at all. Okay? He said, to do the will of him who sent me. He says, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. We're going to come back to that again. The last day. Okay, let's not be distracted, but let's look at verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. Now, this everlasting life, is it the first time? No, that has always been the plan of God. That has always been his purpose. But the way it's going to work is that people must believe him, the Son of God, to have this everlasting life. He says, and I will raise him up at the last day. We talk about this last day later on, okay? But then the fact is that eternal life, we have eternal life in Christ Jesus today. Hallelujah. Hebrews, therefore, Hebrews chapter 10, and I mean, we're just looking at different writers, different, you know, different emphasis in God's word as to how Jesus came to now fulfill that plan and purpose of God. Let's see Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Hebrews 10, verse 7. You got it? Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Okay? Now, so we now know that the will of God is to give mankind eternal life. Right? The purpose of God is to give mankind eternal life. And Jesus Christ will come, all right, to execute that will. To make that possible. To make that happen. Hallelujah. Now, First Timothy. Well, before First Timothy, let me take us to let's read First Timothy, no doubt. First Timothy. I want, you know, the scripture that I missed that I just want to reference. The First Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. First Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Look at it. Now, verse 1 and 2 of this, I'll paraphrase it. Okay, it says, Paul saying to the church, saying to Timothy, that I exhort therefore that prayer, supplication, intercession, and giving of thanks be made to men. It says, for kings and all who are in authority, all right, that we live a quiet life and all. Now, he's not saying that because this is good. We're coming back to there, all right. He says, because this is good and acceptable. What is good? Prayers, exhortation, giving of thanks. It says, is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Now, verse 4. Please, can we emphasize this verse 4 properly? It says, who desires all men to be saved? This is the point. So, the desire of God. So, if you say, oh, God has got a need. Well, he's got a need. He's got something that he wants. Who wants, other versions we say, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Hallelujah. Please, can you help me tell your neighbor, we are heralds. We are messengers. We're just telling the story to get there, okay? Let's tell the story properly. God has got a purpose. He wants all men to be saved. He promised eternal life. But now, he will send his son, Jesus Christ, to fulfill that will. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Please follow this story. Follow the thoughts. We're going to build on this in our subsequent meetings. I just don't want to tell you we are heralds. We are heralds. Let's just go. No, we need to know where this is coming from. We need to know that it's not the commandment of men. It's not some good idea. No. This is the plan, the very heartbeat of God. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. See, God will throw his everything at his agenda. He threw his only begotten son, everything that is God. Now, apart from him throwing that, can you see how God was so patient? All right? Because he promised that before the world began. And now it will happen thousands of years later. So when you hear in God's word, when he says that my word will not return unto me void, he's not talking about what you said. He's talking about God. What he said from the beginning, that so and so will happen, that I will give eternal life. That's what that scripture is for. It was for about God, that I will go every length, all the way, to fulfill the eternal life that I promised mankind. That's what he said. I said, and nothing will stop it. Not the plot of men, not the disappointment, not well people. No. It wouldn't be that. It will be that everything will be that I will fulfill my purpose. Hallelujah. So God desires for everyone to be saved. We've seen that. Hallelujah. Matthew. Let's read Matthew 26, verse 39. Matthew 26, 39. Look at it. Jesus Christ is now about to fulfill that will. He went a little further, right? A little further and fell on his face and prayed. Because it's not going to be an easy task. It's not going to be an easy achievement or accomplishment. He's got to pray. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible. But this is what God has planned all the while. This is purpose from before the world began. Anyway, he says, if it is possible, let this cup. Well, we know this cup is a figure. Let this whole issue experience. Let it just pass over me. Can we find some other way? Meaning there's no other way. If there had been other ways, I tell you, God would have gone that route. We're going to see. All right? Now, nevertheless, it says, not as I will, but as you will. So it means this is the will of God. I'm telling us the story of the battle that God won, for which he has given us a mandate to go announce the news to everybody. God has got a purpose. Hallelujah. All right. So Jesus fulfilled that will. He fulfilled that will. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Are we together, friends? I hope I'm not losing anybody. Is it making sense to us? All right. Please, can you help me find your neighbor? Tell him, God has got an agenda. God has got an agenda. Say, God has got a purpose. God has a purpose. Hallelujah. Let me just double up a bit more. Where Hebrews chapter 2. See? Please, let's listen to this explanation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. It says, inasmuch as the children, now the children that will be you and I, all of us, okay, have partaken of flesh and blood, meaning inasmuch we are here, we became flesh and blood, okay? Now, he says he himself, that's God, that's Jesus Christ, he himself likewise shared in the same. He shared in the same, meaning he partook, he became flesh and blood in order to fulfill the will of God. Right? The will of God. And what's the will of God? To save mankind, to give eternal life, right? To give life, not to destroy anybody, right? So he himself, all right, likewise shared in the same. He became like you and I in the process of God accomplishing his purpose of giving eternal life. He will send his son to become like you and I. The Bible says it was God. He did not deem it fit to take that, to retain that title. He submitted himself, all right, even unto death. Now look at it. That through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Let me explain what that means. It means that for Jesus to have done the will of God, he had to die. All right? Now, people that say, let me explain this better. All right? Death is the end. All right? So Jesus had to die. He could not have accomplished that purpose sitting in heaven. He could not have done it here on earth. All right? He had to leave heaven to come to earth and to die. All right? He had to, through death, meaning he will need to be killed. He might. Now, he did that to destroy. Meaning, the devil is spiritual. Okay? He had to die. All right, and go to the devil where he took authority and take it back from him. That's what, all right? The devil is not flesh and blood, okay? And where he is in heaven, he can't deliver, he can't save. He had to be born, all right? Became flesh and blood, was killed, all right? In that process, those 3 days, that's when he did this. He destroyed the works of the devil, all right, thereby giving us eternal life. Let's read again. That he might destroy him who had the power of death. It was the devil who had that power, all right. Now, to destroy there means to render harmless. So, he's got authority, he's got ability to do stuff, but he disabled him. It's more of disabling the devil. He's still there. But yeah, so yeah, that word is katagio. Katagio. It means to render idle, inactive, inefficient, to deprive of force and power, to strip off influence and power. That's what Jesus did, and that will be the purpose of God. Hallelujah. He could only have done that through death, meaning he had to die to go to where it is. I'm going to show some more. He had to die. Now, let's that is the devil. Now, look at it, verse 15. And release, hallelujah. And release those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime. Those will be mankind. Where's the those? This pronoun those here, that will be mankind, all of us, all right? Through his death now, all right, it will now render the devil ineffective, inefficient, and by that will render us free, release us from the fear of death. I have no fear of death. I have no fear of death anymore. The devil has no claim over my life anymore. Hallelujah. Are we making sense to us at all? Let's run. All right? So, those who, through their lifetime, were subject to bondage. Hallelujah. Let's read some more scripture. Don't forget. So, where have we gotten to? God has a plan. All right? That plan was to give eternal life. Jesus came to do his will. All right? At some point, he said, now, we are now seeing that actually, he actually fulfilled that will. He through death, got the power, got the authority. We're going to read some more today. And I know I need to speed up because of time. There are some bits I want to emphasize today. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 15. Colossians chapter 2, 13 and 15. Let's read some more about this. About God, about Jesus actually fulfilling the will, the purpose of God. Please don't lose it. I'm just trying to tell the story of God. God has got a story. You know, at times it's good to hear God out. All right? You know, you just want to tell, oh God, look at me. I need biscuit. I need, oh, you're just saying, but at times you may need to listen to the story of God as well. God has got a story. He's got a purpose. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Look at it. And you, talking about you and I, he says we were dead. Look at that. Okay, pay attention. Look at that. Pay attention. Now, the people that I was talking to here that they are dead in their sins, are they really dead physically? All right? When Paul was writing this letter to the church in Colossae, were they dead like dead? No. All right? But Jesus will have to die in their stead, all right? And take that. We've read that in Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. He through death, destroyed the devil. But now look at it. He says, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he had made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14. See what he did. Look at that. Verse 14. He says, all right, thank you. Having wiped out. Now, all that we're going to read in 14 and 15 didn't happen on the cross. All right? You know, I know people say, oh, he died for our sins on the cross. He didn't pay for the sins on the cross. Hallelujah. All right? The cross will be the channel for him to pay, but that the payment, the transaction was done behind the scene, was done within those 3 days. Hallelujah. All right? The actual payment. Now, the cross will be the channel for him to get there. He will die, he will be killed. Okay, but then look at it. He wiped out all. He did that in those 3 days. Hallelujah! All right, because that could be turbulent to say, "Oh, he didn't pay for our sins on the cross." All right, he actually did not. Right, but we can take that back later. We can clarify that because that's not the point today. All right, he will do it after the cross. After in those 3 days that he was lying, his body was there. His spirit was somewhere else. That was actually when he went to disarm the devil. That was actually when he went to present himself before God and make the payment for sins. All right? So that wouldn't happen physically on the cross. It was a spiritual transaction. Hallelujah. And that will happen behind. And that's what we are reading here. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, meaning it's always working against us. And he has taken it out of the way. Haven't nailed it to the cross. Again, to the cross here, we can explain that later on. We're going to take a series next year, all right? The gospel of our salvation. We're going to explain this better, okay? Now, look at it. Verse 15. Haven't disarmed principalities and power, he made a public spectacle. Now, this public spectacle, again, is not physical, all right? They are all spiritual activities of them triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. This was what Christ did in fulfilling the power or the plan and the purpose of God. All right? He rendered the devil ineffective. He disarmed. All right? You know, the devil used to be armed with lies, but now Jesus went to his territory, all right, and disarmed the devil. Hallelujah. Now, let's move forward again. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Revelation 1, 18. We're getting to the story, to the bit of the story now that has to do with you and I. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Let's look at it. So Jesus will now come from there. We're going to read more about after his conquest, after his victory, after fulfilling the purpose and the plan of God, Jesus will come, you know, will come. See what he said some more. He says, I am he who lives. Now look at, when he used was, that's in the past tense, right? So he says, I was dead. He was actually dead. Hallelujah. And behold, I am alive forever. So he was living, okay? He was dead, and now he resurrected. We've taught ourselves about that in this church, all right? He resurrected, and he now is alive forevermore. Amen. See what he says some more. I have the keys of Hades. Now that's the Hades, okay? That's where he went, all right? And of death. So today, Jesus has the keys over death, has the keys over hell today. Hallelujah. And that will be him fulfilling the plan and the purpose of God. Now, that story of God, did I clarify it very well? It's got a purpose. Jesus fulfilled that purpose, all right? Jesus fulfilled that counsel, all right? In between, I didn't emphasize, in between the devil came, messed up things. I didn't emphasize that, all right? Because we will come back to that point. But we have seen now that Jesus actually went and got the victory, triumphed, got the victory, has the authority, has the power. Hallelujah. Now, the bit you're going to start reading now, we just read some more. Let's just read some more. Mark chapter 16, 14 and 15. Mark 16. 14 and 15. Mark 16. Look at it. He says, later he appeared. Now, this later he appeared will be after the 3 days, right? Amen. After the 3 days, right? So later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Okay? Now, look at it. The way it was written here, okay, some details had been, you know, were left out. But we're going to see that in other accounts. Verse 15. And he said to them, go. Now, he didn't just say to them, all right? Luke will help us paint it better. That this appearing to them on the table, between this verse 14 and verse 15, about 40 days had gone. Hallelujah. Telling them about the victory that he has won. We're going to read it. All right? Telling them about what has happened. So between he appeared to them on the table, like, okay, you go. He didn't just tell them to go. All right? But anyway, let's read. But then you now see that, and he said to them, let's read it, go into the world and preach the gospel. Notice he didn't say, a gospel. So there is a news. There is the gospel. There is the good news that the will of God that he had from before the world began, that will has now been accomplished. That anyone that will believe will be saved. That's why he was rebuking them, because you didn't even believe. How are you going to preach the gospel if you don't believe? I need you to believe. Hallelujah. All right. So he tells them to go into the world, to all of the world, and preach the gospel. That gospel, we're going to look at the specifics of it. It's a very particular gospel. To my colleagues alone. Maybe to the men. So, you know, it's okay. It's okay. Women conference. Men, it's okay. It's okay. But the gospel is for everybody. All right? It's all right. It's okay. But it's for everybody. Every creature. Let me run. Let's run. Look at it. Please, let me tell your neighbor, we are heralds. We are messengers of the gospel of Christ. Luke chapter 24. Luke will tell us, you know, I want us to know that Luke Mark, John, you know they're telling the same story. All right? Tony, Liverpool lost yesterday. I don't know what happened. Four matches in nine. We need to revisit. Anyway, but if we are to tell that story, you know, we're going to tell it differently. You tell about the story of the same event, the same 90-minute match, okay? Maybe that didn't play well, maybe, okay? But then I will tell another angle of it, the same event. That's what we're reading here, all right? Mark will tell a story of the same event, all right? Luke will give us a little bit more detail of the same event. So there are no two events. Christ didn't rise three times. The same event, just different people talking about different things. All of you that didn't like Liverpool, God bless you. All right. So we said Luke 24. Luke 24, 44 and 45. Look at it. Then he said to them, these were the words, okay, which I spoke to you while I was so it means that Jesus was telling them about this same story, the way we've been talking about this story today, Jesus, all right, that I told you while I was still with you, all right, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. That's another mouthful, we're going to come back there. And he opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. All right, so this opening their understanding. The same Luke will tell us, we're going to go there now. But Luke will tell them that this opening their understanding will take 40 days. 40, clarifying things to them, explaining things to them about the story of God. All right, open their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. Because all of this story will be in the scripture. So that they can understand the scripture. All right. Now, let's read 46. Then he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary. Did you see that? It was necessary. Christ had to die. All right? It is only through death that he could accomplish that feat. It was necessary for Christ to die, to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. It was necessary. Hallelujah. Verse 47. 47. And now look at that. Pay attention. Because this is it. Christ has done his bit. It was necessary for him to die. And that repentance and remission of sins should be what? Preached. Can we say, should be heralded, should be pronounced, should be announced, hallelujah, all right, in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It was necessary, hallelujah, okay. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Let's do this quickly. What are we telling ourselves today? We are just telling ourselves the story of God and how he has, and how we are part of that story. Okay? Again, we've read there that it is necessary that he should die, and it is necessary that the news of his death and victory, that he should rise on the third day, should be preached to all nations. Now, let's read it. We're going to verse 8, but let's take it verse by verse, okay? Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Please, let's take it one verse at a time. The former account, that former account will be Luke, the account of Luke. Okay, I made all Theophilus of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So Jesus began something to do and to teach. Verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up after through the Holy Spirit had given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3. To whom he had also... Now look at it. That's where we're going. All right? Now we just say he appeared to them at the table. He appeared to them. Well, and he told them, go. Luke, in his act account to Theophilus, will give us more detail. He says, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proof, being seen by them, how many times, how many days? 40. What was he doing? Speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So for the 40 days, he was clear. So this is what happened. This is what has happened. All right. That's why. This is so connected. Now, Luke, we say he opened he their understanding. That's what he did there by many infallible proof, using the scripture, opened their mind to understand the story of God, things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Verse 5. And it says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 6. Now, it says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7. It says, and he said to them, it's not for you to know times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Verse 8. Let's go to verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You don't see the point, all right? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, let's put this together. He said that you'll be witnesses. Now, you and I can't be witness in that class because we're not there. Meaning, you saw it. You saw, right? We didn't see it, but we believed. And it's documented for us, okay? But they saw it. They handled it. They participated in it. They were, all right? And he said, now, this is also for you and I today, that we are witnesses. We are witnesses of his death, of his burial, and resurrection. Matthew chapter 28. Let's do this. Matthew 28:18-20. But let's take it verse by verse. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all also, of course, does this now make sense to us? All right? Because he came now, this is him coming after the 3 days, all right? Rising from the dead, he came all power, all right? Saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19. Now look at it. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So he gave us an instruction. He gave his disciples an instruction that if you go preaching this gospel, making disciples, all right, telling men, people, mankind, nations, everyone all over the world, all right, of his victory, of the fulfillment of the plan of God to give eternal life to people. That eternal life that God promised from the beginning of the world, that we now, Jesus accomplished it. So when you say, oh, Jesus, it is finished, he finished, well, he finished his part. All right? He gave us a task. So we have a part in the purpose of God that we should go everywhere communicating the purpose of the victory of God. Just like that herald the historical profession that the king has now won a battle, has now accomplished a feat, and they go everywhere announcing, the way they say it is a carry, king told me, that's what we've been told to do. Hallelujah. And you know what Jesus is going to ask us? That he gave us this command to do? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. He's going to ask us that he gave us this duty to do. All right. He says, go to all the nations, everywhere, everyone. All right. He says, we can reach out to everyone. Reach out to them. All right. Reach out to everyone. All right. Now, let me tell us this as we begin to wrap up today. Like we said today, all right, we are just telling the story of our God. What he accomplished and how we have and the part that we have to play in this and that we are around. So let me tell us this. Every one of us that we have received eternal life from Christ Jesus, with that salvation that we've received comes a responsibility. Is that clear? All right? So that it won't be that, oh, I've got the life of God. That's true. I'm saved eternally. That's true. Well, I'm beyond the labels. That's true. But with all of those comes a responsibility. The responsibility to announce the victory of our King. The responsibility to go everywhere announcing the kingdom or eternal life that God gives through his Son. We have that responsibility. Please let me tell your neighbor left and right, you have a responsibility. Hallelujah. To reach out to everyone. All right. So salvation carries with it the responsibility of being a newscaster. To be a herald, proclaiming what happened in your life and sharing your knowledge about this victory. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bible. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. You know, we're just going to read it later on. Okay. Now, one of the things that we must know is that it is possible for someone, all right, to be saved just like you. I'll say that better. One of the major discoveries that can happen to you and I is to discover that what happened to me, in that I have eternal life, in that I will never perish, in that I'm in the will of God, can happen to any other person. All right? Now, much more than that is that it can happen to people through you and I. Think about that. That you can save someone, quote and unquote. All right? By sharing that gospel. So that what has happened to you, in that you will one day meet Jesus, you will never perish, it can happen to someone. All right? And that it can happen to someone through you. It's a hallmark of maturity. Hallelujah. I wrote here, I said the gospel is not just a truth to receive, it's a trust we must keep and a message we must pass on. I take that again. The gospel, all right, is not just a truth for us to receive, it is a trust. It's something, all right, because Jesus will accomplish the feat and we leave the scene and we hand it over to us, all right, and we say, go, not just to my colleagues, not just to my friends, yes, your colleagues, no doubt, all right, he says, but to everyone, telling them about this gospel, there is the gospel, hallelujah, there is the gospel. So it's not just a truth that we have received, it is a trust that we must keep. And a message that we must pass on. Hallelujah. Very important. Let's read the scripture as we wrap up today. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us, what is he doing through us? He is diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge. Knowledge. So what God is up to is that he's spreading. What does it mean to diffuse? Don't know whether I did chemistry. All right? You know, from higher concentration, you know. Okay. He's diffusing the knowledge. Hallelujah. Now look at, see what he calls that. It's fragrance. It's sweet. It's a good news. We can't keep it. It's a message to pass on. Please, can you help me tell someone the gospel? It's not a message to keep only. It is a message to pass on. Hallelujah. All right. So the purpose and the intention of God is that he through us wants to dive to fill everywhere with the knowledge of his grace. So therefore, this is our part in this story. We're going to continue next week, all right? We're going to see more of the specifics of what God has done and how he has commanded us to go about it. So we are heralds. We are newscasters. We are supposed to go everywhere announcing the news of the kingdom of God. Everywhere. All right? So we're not supposed to keep it. To say, no. And don't forget what I said. This message has power in itself. This message has the ability to... See, you don't need to sugarcoat it. You don't need oratory skills or some... No, we're going to touch on that as well. But that just tell someone about the love of Jesus. Just tell someone about what the eternal life they have, the purpose of God that they have in Christ Jesus. All right? And this is the mandate This is the gospel. This is the responsibility that we have in him. Did that make sense to us today? That anybody that will believe this, can you imagine that God has a purpose and he has committed it to you and I? And we are doing nothing about it. I used to tell Oluwatoyin that imagine Oluwatoyin has brought Isaac to my house. Pastor, please let me look after this boy. And maybe 2 hours is back and the boy has got Mark here, Mark there. Or maybe the boy is not even attended to, he's hungry. He will be happy? No. Because, say, Pastor, I trust you. I told you everything. All right? That's what, is that not what you will say too? That's what I would have said too. But think about it. This purpose of God that he masterminded from before the world began, and it will take him thousands and thousands of years to accomplish it in his son. He fulfilled it. Now we are in that plan. And he's committed the trust of the gospel to you. We can't keep quiet. We can't allow, because I don't, my work pressure, or they won't listen, or no, we have eternal life, and we have the duty under God to fulfill this purpose. Hallelujah. We're going to continue from there next week, and I hope it has been a blessing. So this week, go out and preach the gospel. You are not around. All right, we will encourage ourselves in this series. Support us, give us how we can go about it in this series. And I'm so sure it's going to be one of your, a very fantastic study. And we will be blessed. We will go everywhere in Jersey and beyond Jersey, spreading and diffusing the knowledge of his grace everywhere. Hallelujah.